It's a great privilege to stand up here and be able to address my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ once more after a long hiatus. I thank God because life is fragile, but it takes some of those events in life that will bend you to the utmost of what your knees can bear to realize we serve a risen Savior, we serve a living God that we can trust. During this year, my wife's illness was not only a suffering time for us, but very sobering, also uplifting, because I saw a woman suffering so much and yet never once questioned God. Can you imagine? So it was a time for me to reflect. What do I have to complain about? I never suffered her pain, but it gave me an opportunity to wrestle with God in other areas. And so for many weeks, I was able to dwell on many studies, one which I so dearly wanted to share with my church. Friends, I don't think I've ever been happier in my life than to see some signs that the Lord is coming very soon. And the more I see it, the more I get excited, the more happiness flows through my veins. It is such a joy to dwell on these subjects, but even more when we see those signs right before us. And yet sometimes they seem subtle, maybe unperceived. But let me tell you, Canaan Church, Jesus is coming very soon. Our redemption definitely draws near. It is interesting that we did not coordinate my message with the music that was going to be presented. But it goes very well because the book of Revelation chapter 21 dwells upon a new heaven and a new earth. It dwells upon the joys that we will experience. It dwells upon the fact that one day God is going to wipe away every tear, every pain. There will be no more night. And that is happening very soon. And before I dwell in this topic, I'm going to pray because we do need the Holy Spirit to somehow mold my words and enhance them in a way that I will not deter from God's word, that I will not make it that you cannot understand. And so I'm just an instrument that can mess things up. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm just praying that the Lord will take charge. Let us just bow our heads. Father in heaven, indeed, it is a privilege to be able to espouse your word, to share it with others. Indeed, it is wonderful to just eat of your word and just become encouraged. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, I ask that you will hide me in such a way that it will not be my words, but yours, Lord. Simplify them. Let them flow in a way that it makes sense. And open up our appetite for these things. For, Lord, we know you're coming soon, and we've been asleep for too long. Help us, Lord, to have an appetite for the wonderful things that you have for us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, this is a topic that it seems like less and less we will hear of them. It is present truth, and it doesn't mean that anything else that we preach, it isn't. We should be preaching other things as well. And many a times when someone is suffering, I may not bring this topic. There will be a present truth for that person who's suffering, that I may be able to lift them up in that circumstances that is bugging them down, that is burdening them down. There will be present truth for that. But this particular present truth should never be neglected. And it should be nothing that should scare us. If anything, the Bible tells us from the beginning, the winning team. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you know who's going to win, and you and I have a choice, where do we want to go? How much simpler can God make that? For many years, probably decades, we've heard If you've grown up in the church like I did, and that's no advantage to someone who's coming in new, by the way, but if you've heard it over and over again, sometimes I think we don't do justice to God's word every time we hear someone do something horrible. Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus is coming soon. We hear some, Jesus is coming soon. We water it down so much that it means nothing to us, and we have no idea where we really stand. But the Bible tells me that you will see some signs that will let you know that I am near, even where? At the door. We will never know through these signs what time, what hour, what day, but we will know He is at the door. Friends, I often wonder, will this be the generation that will see Jesus come? And I think I will stand with those that will say, yes, we will be that generation. Because there were several things that we were supposed to see to let us know this generation will not pass before they see Jesus come again. There are many things that are happening that we're not courageous enough to speak about. I heard some pastors recently speaking how some of their colleagues who are preparing for a PhD on these topics, others discouraging them by saying, if you go in that route, you are committing professional suicide. Professional suicide for speaking the Word of God? For not distorting the Word of God? This is the time where probably God needs those kamikazes. That they will dare to come up front, speak the truth as it is, and let the people of God know Jesus is coming soon. This is not fantasy, brothers and sisters. We need to know where we stand. Luke 21:28. Now, when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, the chapter, a little ahead of time, and also chapter 24 of Matthew, will tell you that just before Jesus come, we will see natural disasters. We will see all these things happening just before He comes. This past year with the fires in California, for the first time we were hearing words that these were unquenchable fires. Fires that they say we could not put them out. Almost supernatural. When did we hear about these things in the past? Fires have been occurring in California for the longest. But this year it was different. God said that these things would happen in rapid succession. We're seeing lands that are being devastated, friends. Do you know that right now the earth is subsisting on 42% of vegetated land? Do you know that in China right now, whole communities, they're being moved because whatever used to produce any vegetation, if people are living there, well, let's move them to where there's no vegetation so we can now use those lands. All these monocrops, not letting the land rest as biblically, has deteriorated. They no longer produce. And so we're going to see famine at an escalated rate. The heat that the earth is experiencing. This was just this year in Pakistan. People literally falling, fainting because of the heat. Others would have to come rescue them, water them down. When have we had such record heat all over? We haven't, friends. The Bible said that these things would happen just before Jesus comes. As I mentioned, most of vegetation right now is being wiped away because man has not been a good steward of it. Violence is increasing. A very interesting statistic that I recently heard this past week. Here in our beloved America, every 1 second, someone is being detained because of violence. Every 1 second. When did we hear about these things in the past? Never before. Violence is increasing. We've seen nature turn around tsunamis that no longer bother us much. You would see that recently, the one that happened in Indonesia, not much was given. A little bit of the news. People are tired. They no longer see these as signs, but as frequent things happening. recent hurricane here, not to speak of the one that happened in Puerto Rico, where still you have 3.5 million American citizens without any light, any water, still with blue tarps as roofs. When did we hear about such frequent events? The rainforests, at one time they covered 12% of the Earth's surface. Today, the rainforest only covers 2%. The rainforest, my friends, provides 40% of all the oxygen that we breathe. It removes all the CO2 that we breathe out. Times of the end. Scientists are desperately looking for answers, and they can't find it. All they can do is argue back and forth. Well, maybe if we stop this, maybe if we increase here, maybe if we modified here, maybe we can make a change and save planet Earth. World governments are looking for answers. Now, this one is very interesting, brothers and sisters. This is the G20 2018 in Argentina, just a few weeks ago, by the way. All the world leaders meeting together to see how can we stimulate economy? How can we bring down unemployment? How can we increase people's investments? How can we provide income? How can we maintain stability? All of these, and yet they don't have an answer. This was a few weeks ago. In that same G20 meeting, there was also the G20 Interfaith Forum. This one also a few weeks ago. What's interesting about this is you have religions from all over the globe coming together to find some common grounds. And some of it is actually good, by the way. If you read here, for example, down here, there are a group who have worked with immense dedication and commitment to bring this important gathering to pass. It is an ambitious offering to each of us, filled with hope and vision of a better world. The whole thing is better world. I don't have some of the speeches, but the words that were thrown around in many of them was peace and security, as if they were taking it from the very Bible itself. How can we provide an atmosphere, even though we're of different faiths, different religions, that can provide peace and security? And what did the Bible say about that? When they proclaimed peace and security, what would happen? Sudden destruction. These are people that are actually with good intent, by the way. I don't know that some of them may even know that they're fulfilling prophecy here. But these are the things that they're talking about. Religious and ethical issues tied to economy, development. Societies have been discussed in detail across 3 days by political leaders, academics, lawyers, civil society leaders. Even more, when we first developed the concept of the G20 Interfaith Forum more than 5 years ago, so this is recent, all the world getting together, we saw an opportunity to showcase the world that the powerful contributions that can be made when people and organizations from across what? Religious, political, cultural, natural boundaries work together to address pressing global challenges. Friends, these are very eloquent words to say that we're working together for a common good. In advance of the upcoming G20 Leader Summit in Buenos Aires, the participants look at the part religious communities can play in promoting the goals of successive G20 economic summits. There were a few Adventists that attended, actually invited to be there. And I do believe that our church needed to be there as well, by the way. I think it is important. For the most part, we've actually been talking about that some of these goals is to provide some religious freedom. But what I found very interesting was that this time, whoever spoke for our church never once mentioned religious freedom. Not once. Now, I do believe that the Bible gives a very descriptive character of God's end church. And make no mistake about it, the Adventist church fulfills each and every one of those characteristics. If you wanted to identify which church is God's spokespeople for these end times, you will find none other than the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I will challenge you to say that don't make a mistake. Just because it has been chosen as a spokesperson for God, the majority will not be saved in this church. The majority of people are still out there. That's why he makes the call in, come out of her, my people. Babylon, in other words, confusion, has fallen. Come out. He's making a last ditch effort to bring people out. It was interesting. We had a few of the Jesuits that were speaking and promoting First and Utmost as a leader for this organization to take place. And I'll let you know in a little bit. This is Cardinal Pedro Barreto, Jesuit Cardinal. We have another one of your Jesuit cardinals there, and Adventist representation right here. We have the Vice President of Argentina. We have another one of the Jesuit priests, Monsignor, and I believe his name is Malfa. And he took advantage of the situation to do a slide presentation, the only one, to promote the Pope as the president of this organization. What was most interesting was that the goal is to be able to have common grounds where we can work together for the common good of the poor, good, those in prison, very good. They were all good things, but under a common goal. Part of that goal is that we stop the religious wars that are happening. And some suggested that what we need to do is keep religion privatized, personal. In other words, as a person here, okay, I believe in God, but I don't need to share it with somebody else. Is that biblical? Our mission is to do what? Go out to whom? To the entire world, every nation, tongue, people. And do what? Teach them everything that I've taught you, said Jesus, baptizing them in what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So is that a good suggestion that we should just keep it personal? That person may mean well. Again, please do not use this statement that I'm making and this topic to mean that I am judging. I will never stand in God's place. I do believe there are a lot of people that are moving with good intentions, but because they don't have the knowledge that you and I have, they're fulfilling prophecy, but God can still call them out. There has been no sign that and people have been sealed for good or bad yet. So don't misunderstand my message. Now, part of that goal, besides is just being united, is how soon can we accomplish this? And they set a goal of 2 years. That is profound, my friends. I don't know if they're going to accomplish this in 2 years. But the fact that you have the entire world, interfaith, in a forum, definitely pushing for good agendas, and then setting themselves a goal that who should lead this as president of this organization should be Pope Francis. That was the emphasis here. And then try to achieve that in 2 years where there's no more violence, religious violence. Let's promote religious freedom, but just keep it to yourselves. And then let's just work with the common good. I don't think none of us saw that coming. We just kind of saw that someone is just going to come in, marshal, and say, all right, from now on, Sunday worship, that's it. The devil is more sophisticated than that, my friends. And what we're seeing now is the Pope has become one of the most loved figures in the entire world. When he was actually voted Pope, within 5 minutes, the entire world knew and the entire world accepted. And so here we see him visiting refugees, washing their feet, but not only washing their feet, but kissing their feet. We see him visiting the sick, things that we should be doing, right? We see him visiting the prisons, also there washing their feet, forgiving their sins, visiting prisons. We see him eating with the poor in Rome. This just happened in June of 29. He is actually doing all these biblical things and promoting a particular agenda. I put this here because this is one of our universities out in Utah, Brigham Young University. In this particular university, for the last several decades, we've had also a lot of interfaith meetings with lawyers, religious leaders, academics, philosophers, working again towards fulfilling a common good. Very sophisticated things. Friends, God has always had, in any biblical, historical biblical event, God has always had a prophet. God speaks to Abraham. Abraham delivers that message. God speaks to Noah. Noah delivers that message. Noah's message was not any different than Abraham's message. It's always the same message of salvation, but then you expand a little more so that people would know Jesus or the Messiah was coming. Noah preached similar to what he did. He expanded more. Moses preached what God told him as well, but expanded a little bit more. Then we go down to Daniel, and I'm skipping a lot of prophets, obviously, but I am going over some of the big events in historical biblical stories. Daniel also expands on the same message. It's never a different message. God has never had a church without a prophet. Who remembers King Jehoshaphat? Remember that the armies were coming in and they were going to decimate them. And he was afraid. He pleaded with God. He told the people, let's fast, let's pray. There's a prophet that is actually Jehaziel. He is overcome by the Holy Spirit. And he tells Jehoshaphat, listen, do not fear the enemy. As numerous as they are, do not fear. Believe in God. He will fight. As a matter of fact, the prophet told him, you won't even have to fight. What we want you to do is get all the Levites out here, get all the people, and prepare to sing. Can you imagine being surrounded by armed veteran armies, men who are used to cutting off heads and then sit down for breakfast? People who would kill and still can go home and have a good time? These were armies ready to decimate God's people. They were more numerous than God's people. And yet God tells them, stand still. What you're to do is stand firm and sing. I've never seen a battle won by singing. But this is the God that we serve. He will take things that seem impossible and turn it into a victory. And this is what he did. Jehoshaphat was so overcome by what he heard from the prophet that he stated these words. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. What were the two things that he said? Believe in whom? God. And believe who else? His prophets. There's never been a moment where God has not spoken and had a prophet. I just show you a few of those. Friends, that has never stopped. We enter into the New Testament, and Jesus, the visible form of God, his son, and who's by him? John the Baptist, a prophet. There has never been historical biblical moments without that combination. And towards the end, do not make a mistake. Just as he had in the Isle of Patmos, John, an elderly man, so many actually thought, what can John do at this point in time? He is so old. We'll just send him out there. And yet, he writes the most beautiful book ever given to mankind so that we would prepare because Jesus is coming soon. All that knowledge got lost. And then God, when he raised again the awareness of going back to the Bible, he brings out another prophet. Now, if she's a prophet, she has to speak the same way that everybody else did. You speak God's word, and then the next one comes, he speaks the same, he expands. The next one comes, God tells him, this is what you're going to do. He speaks again, he expands. Or she speaks again, he expands. If they speak differently, it is not a prophet of God. Friends, as a church, we may have leaders that may not be convinced for whatever reason. But the Bible was written in simple language for you and I to understand. I don't have to take someone else's word. You don't have to take my word. You look it up, just like the Bereans did. And they wanted to see for themselves, is this true? And they would search. And so God says, test all the prophets. He never told you just because they get up there and say something. He says, test them. Test them and see if they speak according to my word. We have, back in, I believe it was 2015 or the last general conference, as a church, and mind you, this is the church of God, don't ever be tempted to leave it because God says that he will only have one spokesperson. That one spokesperson, part of the characteristics is they will speak the three angels' message. No other church does that. This will be the church. So I don't care if there's Jesuit infiltration. I don't care if some of the leaders are not fully convinced. My job is not to find out, is Ed a Jesuit or not? Is he an infiltrator or a spy? Your job is not to figure out if I am a spy or not. My job is study the word. Focus on the word because the hypocrites will be in the church. That's no reason for me to leave. The liars will be in the church as well. The church of God, by the way. That's no reason for me to leave. The horrible music that we're hearing nowadays, we're hearing rock and rap in God's church. Don't be tempted to leave the church. Just be happy to know these are signs that Jesus is coming soon. You have to remain. Even if there's one faithful that can influence many, God needs you here. This is God's end time church, brothers. As a matter of fact, going back to 2015, I believe, in that general conference, you will realize that as a church organization, we voted that Ellen G. White, and I'm paraphrasing, you'll have to read the bulletin for yourself, is not considered any longer truth. How can we as a church have done that? We have been so intimidated by many of our leaders to say that if we use her as a prophet, we're going to intimidate other people. We're going to actually scare them away. That it's something we should just keep for ourselves. That the prophets were only meant for Israel and no one else. Friends, if a prophet speaks God's word, then we should believe. What is the Bible composed of? Over 40 writers over a span of 1,500 years, from farmers to kings to doctors to tax collectors, put it together because God said, say these things, write them down for my people. So if a prophet speaks as God speaks, is it truth? It is. If Ellen G. White speaks God's truth, is it less truth because it's in modern times? How can a third grader educated only to the third grader, a woman with very little education, write over 100,000 pages and talk about things that we're only discovering right now if God did not mention? You can look from cover to cover and you will not find anything that says contrary to what any of the other prophets spoke about. So is she less truth? she isn't. She speaks the truth. God has never left us without a prophet. We also change in that particular general conference the word soon coming. Jesus is imminent, sorry, the imminent coming of Jesus to a soon return. Because imminent meant he's coming. We no longer believe that. We should not be saying that is what's being said. Just let him know that he will come. He will come. But he will come, so many people believe that. The Bible tells me that even at the door, you will see this. Is that he will come or is that imminent? That is imminent. Again, I stress, this is still God's church. Don't be tempted to start looking for those spies. My sole responsibility is go into the Word. Study it for yourself. Because when things that do not jive with what the Lord says, they come, you will see it for yourself. No one will be able to shake you. It's always been God and His Word. Another way for seeing God is God represents, the law represents His character, the law, and what? The testimonies of the prophets. Another way of saying it is God and His prophets, and that's how we come up with the Bible. It has never been any different. Many of us have Bibles collecting dust. It used to be that the Dark Ages was when no one had any word in their vernacular language. Everything was in Latin. You had to be a highly educated person to study Latin and then understand it good enough to even dream in that language to understand a Bible. And because many of us did not have that level of education, the priests, the monks can tell us anything, and we would believe it. Today we live in a modern Dark Ages. Now we have it in English, we have it in Spanish, in Italian, Portuguese, German. Name the language. We have it, but we live in dark ages because we don't read it. We should be studying the spirit of prophecy as well. Because she is a prophet that will expand on these very issues and telling you more truth about how to open your eyes, how to use your time to study that word so that you're not deceived. How many of you remember Prophet Hosea? He stated these words, "My people are destroyed." God actually told him to say, "My people are destroyed for lack of what?" Knowledge is where it's at. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me." How do we reject knowledge? When we have time to study, we rather do something else, something to amuse us. We spend our time doing things that are so frivolous, knowing that Jesus is coming very soon, knowing that we now have a forum of global interfaith with an agenda of trying to unify these churches in the next 2 years. Will they accomplish it or not? I have no idea. I don't even care if they do. My problem right now is I better know my Bible and I better get ready because I want my name written in the book of life. And I hope that that is what you want as well. Let me just read a few things from Great Controversy. Throughout Christendom, Protestantism was menaced by formidable foes. The first triumphs of the Reformation passed. Rome summoned new forces, hoping to accomplish its destruction. At this time, the Order of the Jesuits was created. Let me tell you what was prior to this, before you can keep reading. When they saw how Christians were willing to die at those burning stakes, when they saw that they cared not for their lives, but they would speak for the Word of God, they realized, we're leading a battle that we're losing. These people are willing to die for their God, and we don't have people that are willing to die for this cause, and this is how the Jesuits were created. We needed someone as committed to a cause as the Christians were. And so this is where the Jesuits were created. It is called the most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery. Cut off from the earthly ties and human interests, dead to the claims of natural affections, reason and conscience wholly silenced, they knew no rule, no tie but that of their order, and no duty but to extend its power. That's why they were created. She goes on to say, vow to perpetual poverty and humility. It was their steady aim to secure wealth and power, to be devoted to overthrow Protestantism. Remember the Protestants back then? Protesting that the church had gone away from biblical principles. And now most Protestantism have nothing to protest about because they're following exactly the same teachings. So obviously, a few years ago when the church said, listen, I apologize for all the things we did. Let's just kind of sweep that under the rug and let's start with a new clean page. That was no mistake, friends. That was calculated murder because they were protesting that they were going away against biblical teachings. But this was the way that they were going to overcome. Devoted to overthrow the Protestantism and the reestablishment of papal supremacy. When appearing as members of their order, they wore a garb of sanctity, visiting prisons and hospitals. Now, how did she know 100 years before, well, more than 100 years, that this was going to happen? God showed it to her. And this is what we're seeing now in the order of Jesuits. You do know that our current Pope happens to be a Jesuit, the most dedicated to this cause. None other will equal them. So they wore a garb of sanctity, visiting prisons, hospitals, ministering to the sick and the poor, professing to have renounced the world, bearing the sacred name of Jesus, who went about doing good. But under this blameless exterior, the most criminal and deadly purposes were often concealed. It was a fundamental principle of the order that the end justifies the means. Friends, Medical Ministry, page 93. Let us put on every piece of the Christian armor and steadily resist the enemy. Just like King Jehoshaphat. He told them, stand firm. But they were not to fight. They were to sing the praises of a living God. Stand firm. We shall have to meet fallen angels and the prince of the powers of darkness. Satan is by no means asleep. He is wide awake and playing the game of life for the souls of the people of God. He will come to them with what? Flattery. He's going to come with flattery of all kinds in the hope of leading them to swerve from their allegiance. He desires to call their attention from what? From real issues to what? False issues. There are some real issues here, my friend. Revelation 12:12, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. And so he's causing all this suffering. Friends, we are seeing right before our very eyes what this evil agent has done. And God is telling us, when you see these signs, know that I am even at the door. Remember how Satan was thrown from heaven, but he convinced a third of those angels, and they were thrown down with him. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And this is their task, to try to fool you and I, to try to distract us. Great controversy, page 593, the last great delusion. What delusion was this going to be? The very last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be what? It's going to be impossible to distinguish between them except how. Friends, Ellen G. White, as a prophet of God, is telling you, delve into the Word, read the Word, study the Word. She's expanding on what every single prophet has done. Don't be confused and do not be embarrassed to speak up. We are in the last days. This is an urgent call. We've got to surrender ourselves to God. We've got to start studying. We've got to get on bended knees and claim the promises of Jesus. We've got to confess our sins. Friends, if we confess, we have an advocate with the Father. He is pleading our case. But unless we're studying, you don't know that. But when we do, it says here, by their testimony, every statement and every miracle must be tested. Just because you see someone do a miracle and claim that he's from God means nothing. He's got to be able to speak exactly what the Bible says. Nothing short of that. To the law and what else? To the testimony, to the law, meaning God, if God said it, the testimony. These are the prophets that speak exactly what God told them to say, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, the word of God, it is because there is what? No light in them. There's no truth in them. The people of God are directed to what? This, the scriptures. This is the prophetess of God telling, delve into the Word. Study the Scriptures. It is your only safeguard. This is our safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible what? It's interesting how she wrote this book, again, over 100 years ago. And she used the word device. You know, nowadays, what do we call this? We get entertained with a device. What do we call this? We call it a device. Our computer's a device. How does she choose a word so carefully without knowing that one day, yes, the distractions are happening in our very homes with these devices. We're looking at everything else but the Word of God. People are looking into, if they say, well, the Adventist Church is the Church of God, well, guess what Satan is going to do? He's going to put a lot of stuff in the internet and these devices, and then instead of looking into the Word and finding out the description of God's church, they look, the Seventh-day Adventists are a cult. The Seventh-day Adventists, all these false things, and we figured, I got it from the internet, it's got to be true. Well, I'm not going to that church. I've just made up my mind. That is not the way to do it. It is by the law and by the testimony. I'm almost finished here. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of whom, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Paul talking, is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in what? And no one else. If someone is teaching you there is salvation through Allah, they're lying. If someone is teaching you their salvation through Hare Krishna, they're lying. If someone tells you that it's within you to be saved because you have the power to do it on your own, it's false. Revelation 12:17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war. Now you do realize I'm speaking to people who are from church, but woman in prophetic means the church, right? So we can substitute that. Then the dragon became furious with the church and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The seed is all of us, right? And those who keep what? This is one of the characteristics out of six that you can pinpoint in Revelation. God's church will do what? They keep the commandments of God. How many commandments are there? 10 and 10 only, no other. I've heard eloquent speakers, people with several PhDs say, we keep the commandments, but only 9 of them are to be kept. The other one was done away with. That's not what the Bible teaches, friend. The people of God are those that keep His commandment and hold to what? And the testimony is the one that the prophets are giving. So I do not have to abide by the fact that someone is telling me higher up, well, our bulletin says at Seventh-day Adventist organization that she is not really truth, because she hasn't spoken against God's word. So I will still, and if they call it professional, I'm not a minister, But if they call it professional suicide, then I will continue to stand up as a kamikaze for the Lord. And I will gladly stand as the Lord gives me the strength. I will stand and preach this until my last breath, because Jesus is coming soon. And if I hold back, I am complicit. Satan is distracting us with false issues. Why? I'm going to end it here. And this part you don't want to miss. What I like to do is, in the next few Sabbaths that I do have scheduled, I will continue expanding on this. When Lot decided to choose the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, these were fruitful lands, by the way. Lot had been instructed by his uncle who raised them to fear God. But Lot had a business mind, and he decided, I can make more money if I stay here. These were wicked cities. The Bible describes them as such, to the point that the violence was so bad. There was so much in abundance that people were just leisurely spending their times in entertainment. They did not care for the poor. They did not care for those that were in want. Everything was about them. But there was also, along with all those abominations, the abomination of sexual perversion. And it finally got to God where it filled the cup and mercy could no longer be extended. They had Lot for all those years, who would have been a living testimony. They could care less. And so God sends two angels. Lot, having learned hospitality through Abraham, offer their home. He knew these two men, because they didn't come out in these lights and wings. They were looking like regular men. They were personified angels. And knowing that they were in danger of staying in the town square, he says, listen, you can't stay in the town square. Come to my home. He was offering protection. Our homes are supposed to be these temples where when people come, they should find, wow, why do I feel so at peace when I go and visit Kathy? Because God lives in that home. And so when I go, it's not that she has no problems. I'm sure she has a lot of things to suffer, but she believes in God. What if I visit Brooks and I said, Brooks, it's so nice when I go to your home, I feel such peace. Why would I feel that? Because he worships a living God, and God is in that place. And so he brought them in, because in this temple, at least he would provide them protection. But what we know is that the men came out. Luke 17, 28, 29, likewise, just as in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But when Lot, on that day when Lot went out from Sodom, what happened? Fire rained. If you go to Genesis 19, it tells you exactly what happened. That night, they came in and they banged at his door. And the words that came out, Genesis chapter 19, was, Lot, where are those men that you're housing? Let them come out so we can have sex with them. The Bible uses the word so that we may know them carnally. But you remember that in Genesis 4, it says, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. So the context tells you that it's intimacy, a sexual intimacy. They're banging a whole group of people, young and old, knocking, let them come out so that we can have sex with them. Lot is scared at this point in time. Friends, I bring this for a simple reason. I mentioned Jesus is coming very soon. I just mentioned how the Interfaith Forum a few weeks ago is looking to unify the churches, have as its leader the Pope, have a common ground. They didn't call it a common religion, just a common ground. Keep your faith to yourself. Don't be violent against other people. Let's just have a common ground. But keep it to yourself. But my emphasis is not so much this part here. Let me read something that Ellen G. White wrote in Mounts of Blessing. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees some questions. I'm going to read the blue, Matthew 19:8. He referred them to the blessed days of Eden when God pronounced all things very good. Then marriage and the Sabbath, what did I say? Marriage and what? Marriage and the Sabbath, don't miss this part, had their origin twin what? Twin institutions for the glory of whom? For God and for the benefit of humanity. We see that phrase, marriage and Sabbath, as twin institutions that started in Eden. Marriage and Sabbath. Twins, when they are born. When the first one comes out. How many weeks later does the second one come out? How many days later does the second one come out? It's usually minutes. Marriage pretty much has been done away with. A few years ago, America pronounced by our Supreme Court, the highest of all courts, that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. But who defined that? God did, going against God's word. It is now between two people who apply for a license of marriage. That's our definition. The superpower of this world has influenced the entire world to think the same thing. Twin institutions. Friends, when these people were knocking at Lot's door, they were bringing the homosexuality into the temple, his home. Homosexuality is being brought into every single one of our homes. Maybe no one is knocking down those doors, but through simple things such as music, commercials on TV now. Have you seen those cruises? Commercials, so that you can have a cruise in gay cruises. Sitcoms, comedy. Because it's easy to accept that. You laugh a little. Oh, it's funny. No harm. It's funny. But the devil knows exactly what he's doing. He is knocking at those doors so that we can participate of it in our own homes. And we saw it come to fruition in this country legally now. What was the other twin? Sabbath. This forum is looking for common grounds, and Sunday, as the family day, is the common ground. How soon before it becomes law? When one twin is born, shortly thereafter, the second one is born. Friends, this should not scare us. It should actually make us joyful because Jesus is coming soon. This is the generation that will see Jesus come. When Lot left that place, how many weeks went by before that fire came down and destroyed? As he was leaving. That's how close, friends. When Jesus says, your redemption draws near. That's exciting news to me, friends. I'm going to end it here. But I have a lot more to share so that you won't have to take my word. You will see it for yourself. Jesus right now is about to walk out of the most holy place that will take place shortly thereafter when these laws are enacted. Because every case will have been decided pretty much. And then shortly thereafter, he comes. If you thought that maybe you'll grow to the ripe old age of 100, I think you may be wrong. This is good news. When we see horrible things happening in a church, don't leave. This is still God's church. Don't be looking for the spies. That's a waste of time. Study. Study. And every day and every night, confess your sins to God. Every morning I wake up, Lord, thank you, because I have one more opportunity. And even if in my own dreams I acted in ways that, please forgive me. When I come back home, before I go to bed, study God's Word. Start getting used to shutting off that TV. Start getting used to not hearing music that will not allow you to communicate with God. Friends, the closer we get to seeing our Lord, the more things we're going to leave behind. I will not be asking if I had issues with my fashions, if I had issue with my diet, if I had issue with jewelry, if I had issue with... You're going to let go of these things on your very own, because when you see Jesus as the perfect example of who we should be, your desire, my desire, will be, I want to be more like Jesus. I need to help somebody else. I need to pray for those family members that haven't accepted God yet. I need to pray for those patients that I come in contact with who maybe know a little bit but are asking questions now. Friends, our redemption draws near. He is coming soon. And I praise God for that. When I see the things happening in this church right now, I'm not scared. I am so happy because I know my Lord is coming soon.